He did not wait till the world was ready, till men and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee.
I want to read you the Christmas story as it's found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went there with Mary, and while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. After Jesus was born, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." As they went on their way, the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Friends, this is the Christmas story, and it is good news. You know, one of the things that's interesting to me is, I think about the Christmas story that I just read here, is that every single character that's mentioned, or every single group of characters that's mentioned here in the Christmas story, they're all chasing after something. That I think every single character in the Christmas story, they each are seeking after something, chasing after something that they hope is going to make their life easier or better or more whole. For example, Joseph, the father of Jesus, is chasing after a better reputation. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is chasing after clarity for her future. Herod, the ruler of that time, is chasing after even more power and control than he already has. The shepherds, the text tells us, are chasing after joy and peace in their own hearts. And the wise men, these magi from the east, are chasing after meaning and purpose. You see, every single character in the Christmas story is chasing after something. They all desire for more in their life that doesn't seem to exist at that point. You know, I think when we open and read the Christmas story, we don't open to a perfect world, a world that looks amazing, a world that's idyllic, one that we'd want to live in. No, I think it's actually the exact opposite. That when we open the Christmas story, we see a world that is incredibly broken. We see a world that is full of people with deep, unmet longings in their heart. And it's not even as if these longings that they have in their heart, it's not even like they're all bad necessarily. They're not necessarily, for the most part, bad people that we read about. It's just that they're, in a word, unfulfilled. It's almost as if they're in deep need of a savior.
He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. Till hearts were pure, in joy he came to a tarnished world of sin and doubt. To a world like ours, of anguished shame, he came, and his light would not go out.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth, thou art dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart.
You know, the world of the Christmas story is pretty different from our world today. The year 3 BC is not exactly the same as the year 2023 AD. In fact, comparing them is almost impossible because there are so many differences. Like, if you picked up somebody from the time that lived in 3 BC and you plopped them in to 2023 AD, into our world today, they probably wouldn't recognize the world around them, and they might not even recognize the human species in so many ways, because there are just so many differences. And yet I think that one thing has stayed the exact same in over 2,000 years. That for over 2,000 years, one thing has not changed. You see, because the people in the Christmas story in 3 BC, they were all chasing after something. They were chasing after things, hoping that they would fulfill these deep, unmet longings in their heart. And 2,000 plus years later, I don't think that's changed one bit. That I think you and I find ourselves just like the characters in the Christmas story, chasing after things to try to fill this deep, unmet longing in our heart. These longings for true, genuine life, this longing to know that we're deeply, actually loved, the longing for significance, the longing to feel like we matter. You see, we're all still chasing after something. I guess one of the questions is, what are you chasing after to that end? What is the thing, or what are the things that you find yourself chasing after in order to satisfy that deep, unmet longing that exists in your own heart? Is it more success in a career? Is it approval from a person who hasn't given it to you yet? Is it a release from the incredible weight that you're carrying on your shoulders right now? Is it better grades or admission into the very best school? Is it more money in the retirement account? Is it justification that you really are a good parent or grandparent? I mean, I could go on. The list of things that we find ourselves chasing after is endless. You see, because I think the reality is that we're just like Mary and Joseph and Herod and the shepherds and the magi that you and I, 2,000 plus years later, we're still chasing after things. One of my favorite videos, one of the most fascinating videos that I've watched in the last little bit is a 60 Minutes interview of former NFL quarterback Tom Brady a number of years ago. And let me give you a little background on Tom Brady and in the state of this interview. That at the time of this interview, Tom Brady was the single most accomplished person in his profession, period. He's married to a woman who was crowned Miss Universe. He has an idyllic looking family. He has more fame than everybody except for a handful of people in the entire world. And he's accumulated more wealth and status than I think most people would even dream of. But in this interview, Tom Brady makes one of the most fascinating observations that I think I've ever come across. Because Tom Brady feels like he should have the world at his fingertips. And yet, the interviewer goes on to ask Tom Brady, he says, well, Tom, do you feel like you've achieved the pinnacle of what it means to be a human? Do you feel like you've reached just the top of what a human being can do, what they can achieve, what they can become? And Brady just sort of pauses for a minute, and he looks a little bit confused. He shrugs, and then he responds with this quote. He says, why do I have all this and still think there's something greater out there for me? And he keeps going. He says, I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, this is what it is. I've reached my dream. Me, I think, gosh, there's got to be more than this. And he concludes, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. Even Tom Brady is still chasing after something. His posture is basically like, maybe the next thing will get it for me. Maybe the next thing is the thing that's going to really satisfy the deep longing inside of me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever thought, well, if I just had this, then my life would be good. Then I'd be all right. And then you get that thing, you get the this, and then you say, what I meant was, if I just had this, then my life would be good. Then I'd be all set. Then I'd really have everything that I needed. And then you just keep doing that day after day, month after month, year after year. And if you're like me, and you find yourself doing that sometimes, and you're honest enough to reflect about it, then you find yourself sitting back, reflecting and resonating a whole lot with Tom Brady's observation. Do you think, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be? I mean, there's got to be more to life than this. You see, human history is the story of people century after century chasing after thing after thing after thing, hoping that the next thing will satisfy the deep longing inside of their heart. But the Christmas story is one in which the God of the universe bends down to us and says, hear me out a second. What if the answer to that deep longing inside of your heart, what if it's actually found in a baby lying in a manger?
He came to a world which did not mesh, to heal its tangles, shield its scorn. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the maker of the stars, was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane to raise our songs with joyful voice, for to share our grief, to touch our pain, he came with love. Rejoice, rejoice.
Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring, by thine own eternal spirit, rule in all.
The gospel writer of the Gospel of John poetically shares this about Jesus. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." He continues on, he says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus came from the Father, entered into our mess in order to bring us back to the Father. One of my very favorite things to do as a kid was to go downtown to my dad's office building and visit him at work. And as much as I loved spending time with my dad and seeing what was going on at work, the real reason that I loved going down there was to purge every other office of all the candy that ever existed in that place. My brothers and I, we called it a candy hunt. And so every time we're in the office, we'd plead with him, "Dad, please, can we go on a candy hunt?" And so, as was our custom, one night, we attended an event downtown, and late at night, we were heading back to our car to be done, and we're parked at the building that my dad officed at, and so we're begging him, "Please, Dad, before we go home, can we go on a candy hunt?" And he agreed, and so we walked into the massive, in our minds, 45-story building in which he worked, took the elevator up to the floor where his office was, and ransacked the entire place of all of its candy. 30 minutes later, as we had basically consumed more sugar than any kid should, it was time to go home. And so we got back in the elevator and headed back down to the lobby to get to our car. And as we made it to the lobby, the elevator dinged and the doors opened, and my dad had one of my younger brothers in his hand, holding his hand, and the other hand was holding my other younger brother on his shoulders, and he proceeds to walk out of the elevator with the two of them. And I'm in the elevator too, 7-year-old me following right behind him, except as I start to walk out, the elevator doors begin to close. And in a moment of panic, instead of sticking out my hand and stopping them, I jumped back. And my dad, who was already walking out of the elevator, did not realize it until it was too late, and he turned around, saw the elevator doors closing, reached back, goes, "Charlie!" But at that point, the elevator doors had shut. And 7-year-old me at 11 p.m. was standing in a dark elevator all by myself. I was paralyzed with fear, frozen, not knowing what to do. And before I knew it, the elevator started to slowly ding, and I could see the number atop the door starting to get bigger. It was taking me up. eventually the big ding sounded and I could see our floor 19 as the elevator's doors opened. In a moment of clouded confusion, I stepped out of the elevator onto this dark, mysterious, vacant floor and let the doors close behind me. I had no idea how to get back down to my dad, and he had no idea where I'd gone or what floor I'd gotten off. So in that moment, I did what I thought was a reasonable thing to do as a kid. I walked over to the wall, sat down, buried my head in my hands, and just began to sob. I felt so alone. I felt so helpless. And all I wanted was to be back with my father. A couple minutes later, I could hear the pitter-patter of hurried footsteps, and I looked up, hoping to see my dad. I got excited until the figure coming toward me was very obviously not my dad, and my excitement turned to extreme fear as this stranger was approaching me. And yet as he got closer, I could see that he had a smile on his face, and so I found myself thinking, well, maybe I'll trust him. He seems to care about me. And this stranger that I never met before reached me, he knelt down to me, and he goes, "What's the matter?" I proceeded to tell him what had happened. That I'd gotten lost, that I couldn't find my way back to my dad, and I had no idea what to do. And this stranger that I'd never met before looked me right in the eyes, and he said, "Charlie, I'm gonna get you back to your father." And before I knew it, the night shift janitor had wiped the tears off of my eyes, picked me up, carried me back into the elevator, and we were heading down 19 floors back to the lobby. The elevator door dinged, the doors open, and I see with a priceless expression on his face, my dad standing right outside the doors with his arms open like this. And the janitor walked me out of the elevator, looked at my dad, and goes, "I think I found someone you've been looking for." And I'll tell you without a doubt that that embrace with my dad in that moment is the best hug I've ever experienced in my entire life. See, that's the story of Christmas. The story of Christmas is one in which we are reunited with our Father. And Jesus Christ does that for us. He comes and meets us in the midst of our lonely, helpless state, wipes the tears off of our eyes, picks us up, and carries us back to be with our Heavenly Father, the only one who can take care and meet the needs of that deep longing inside of us. Theologian Chad Bird describes the story of Christmas this way. He says, "We say, 'I can't go on.' Jesus says, 'I will hold you so you can.' We say, 'But I don't even think I can believe that.' Jesus says, 'Even when you are faithless, I will be faithful to you.' We say, 'But I feel so alone.' Jesus says, 'I am Emmanuel, God with you, God never leaving your side.' We say, 'But what's the point? My life is over.' Jesus says, 'I am your life, and I am never over.' We say, 'But look what I've done. I'm dirty.' Jesus says, 'Look what I've done for you. I've made you clean.' And we say, 'Nobody wants me.' Jesus says, 'I want you. Desperately, crazily, lovingly, I want you.'" Chad Bird closes his thought. He says, "All I want for Christmas is a God like that." The good news of Christmas is that we do have a God like that. We don't need to go chasing any longer after the things that we hope will satisfy this deep longing in us. No, instead, all we have and all we need is found in Jesus. And today, the good news is that he has come to be with us. What better way of responding to that than by singing together? I want to invite you to stand as we sing.